Hey guys, Mike here, coming from my dressing room. Sorry for this crappy audio for a second. Just wanted to say we were having some internet issues when we shot this podcast. So there's like one or two strange jumps, but shouldn't interfere too much with the episode. Just wanted to put that out there. Enjoy, guys.
Sound off in the comments. Do you hate our backgrounds? Because Joshua has just spent the first 10 minutes of our very early morning discussing, you know, having like it was World War III.
Hate the backgrounds. What backgrounds? I literally look like I'm in a jail cell, just to be clear. It looks like maybe you cleaned that hoodie from last time. I'm not sure. but just say it because
I will.
You did clean it.
The stain, yeah, I did. The stain was bad. That was, I don't even know what that was. I don't even know.
And so it's not about, listen, this is sound off on the comments all you will. This is for you folks. You know, you already have to look at us so that I'm just trying to spruce up, you know, our surroundings to help us out, you know?
This is very in line with today's topic, authenticity.
Is actually very much in line. Yeah. Also, look at this fucking blue light, Mike. Look at this. I really hate this podcast. Every time we do this podcast now, I'm like, I hate my microphone. I hate my camera. I hate the arm. I hate the wires. I hate you.
And we started doing this at 7:30 in the morning, just to say that.
Yes, we did.
That's what I hate.
I understand. But that's be, wait, so you don't have, oh, could I have a, oh, God, yeah.
No, I got that fucking workshop thing and fucking.
Oh, you have that today?
No, I have the two shows today. But
oh, that's right. That's right. We're recording today.
I booked the workshop thing.
Yes.
So,
listen.
Well,
exactly. It could be worse. We could not be working, you know?
Yeah, we could be like you people out there. Anyway,
the peons. Meanwhile, they're like, "Who the fuck
subscribe
are these?"
Subscribe to our Patreon, exactly. who are these people? They are exactly.
Are we gonna dive right in? No small talk. Well, mainly because I'm aware of me getting to rehearsal. I know you get to go back to sleep or whatever the fuck you said, but I gotta
right
go
to
rehearsal,
sleep, baby. Ooh, forget it. Anyways, so let's talk. Let's dive right in. Whatever. It'll be a 10-minute episode.
I promise you that people also prefer that. They want your bedroom door shut, the shit off your table. They want some more texture in my background. And they don't want hour and 40-minute
like
episodes.
People like you, the neurodivergent.
They don't want
like
an
you.
Hour, 40-minute episode. Oh I promise God. You.
I think you're wrong about that. I prefer all the podcasts I listen to are at least an hour long.
Okay, that's a you thing. I don't mind listening to hour-long episodes, or I don't want to listen to anything. You know what? I just can't. It's like when it starts to. I just like, you know, I like intention. I like to keep that shit moving. When people are like, "Okay, next up, we're talking about paperclips." I'm like, "What the fuck? Who cares about paperclips?" Anyway.
Let's keep it intent to today. How's that? And let's talk about authenticity.
Well, but first of all, good morning. Welcome to Creative Risk. You love jumping five steps ahead. We just bicker at each other the whole episode. Good morning and welcome to Creative Risk, where we talk about art, entrepreneurialism, and everything in between. Like Labad said, very good at honoring. See, I'm a very good honorer, Mike.
Yeah, very good honorer of my don't use my dead name. Don't use my fucking dead name.
You can't.
What? I can. I don't care.
I weep.
It's too early.
This morning, this very early morning, we are talking about, this is funny. We recorded this entire episode.
Well, first we had a literal 2-hour argument about it. That was like very intense.
Yeah. Was it intense? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a bad one. That was a bad
really?
One in particular. Yeah, that was a bad one. And then we recorded it for an hour and a half, but then we looked at the button and it wasn't recording.
So we gave up. We were like, you know what? We're not coming back to this one.
That was bad.
Was it really? Well, that should get you, give you context for, yeah, blacked out.
It's a loaded topic. Okay, well, so yeah, what is it?
Well, I guess it is a loaded topic, and I actually think, you know, part of in our dynamics of what this topic was that made it a bit loaded was, like, I was very gung-ho about this topic, which is specifically about the appearance of authenticity. So because this is something that I personally see popping up into, you know, specifically actors' minds as to how they should be marketing, how they should be engaging with the industry overall, but in a problematic way. So according to Merriam-Webster, you know, the most searched word of 2023 was authentic. And the reason why I'm saying that in relation to this is because we live in a moment where people are really seeking out authenticity, right? You know, they're seeking out a sense of authenticity, both as consumers and certainly in terms of what they're putting out on social media. But what I call bullshit on is that we're not really selling authenticity. What we're trying to get out there is the appearance of authenticity. And the reason why, just to say my thesis in a macro sense, why this matters so much, is that if we hold ourselves to the standard of, oh, I have got to be authentic, my authentic self, right, at all times, that's what I wake up every day and I strive to be my most authentic self, or whatever. From a business standpoint specifically, who does that help? Because if you live yourself to a standard that I think is unmeetable, right, to be genuinely authentic, then you end up, in my opinion, feeling like anything that is work or feels like it's not like, oh, I'm just sleepy and tired today, so that's what they get, right? Is anything other than that exactly how you're feeling is somehow wrong. But again, then I go, well, what business does that? What business wakes up every day and says, you know what? The stamp collector store, whatever, you know, isn't like, let me post my bank statements showing my business in a deficit every day. How the hell am I? No, this is the best stamp store in the world. Come buy your fucking stamps or sell your stamps here. You know, I mean, that's just business. So I do think that this idea of authenticity is getting confused with the concept of the appearance of authenticity. Just that's the macro thought. Yes, Sire Labad?
Yeah, well, I think that what's coming up for me as you talk about it is, well, first off, my question is, why are people seeking out authenticity now more than ever, potentially? Or have people always been looking for authenticity? I don't know. You know, it's just interesting because, you know, what my main question is, this is kind of a little tangent, but like, is this a specific thing of this time, of this age? Have people always looking for authenticity? I don't know, like, you know, or in the past was art here to like express like an idealized world that people could live in, and you know, an idealized future as opposed to what the world actually is and what reality actually is. But that's a conversation for another time. But what's coming up for me, and where I agree with you, is and I think the first thing we need to do is define what authentic actually means. What does the word mean? Because if we're going to be using it, you know, of undisputed origin, genuine is something I see here. I am going to go to Merriam-Webster because I think it's important. Genuine, bona fide, meaning being actually and exactly what is claimed. Authentic implies being fully trustworthy according with fact.
There you go.
So why is that relevant? Well, the one thing that you're bringing up is this idea of true to one's own personality, spirit or character,
right?
Not false.
But let me just. I do want to say something about the culture, about, because I think it's a fair question of like, why does this partially matter right now, in a world of AI, in a world of people claiming that elections are faulty, in a saturated social media market where we're inundated with now ads and content, and I do feel like culturally we are fighting for a sense of truth, and whatever truth is, it makes sense to me that people don't want to feel like they're being sold, don't want to feel like they are being lied to. It makes complete sense why that's what we're seeking.
Yeah,
out.
And I guess people are feeling so very like more lonely than ever, more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people are not connecting on a human level as much anymore. Like everything is occurring online. So like it is interesting that like, you know, how that, you know, when somebody films a Neutrogena ad on vertical on their phone, it feels like you're actually being invited into somebody's personal life, you know, and it may give the appearance or the feeling of like you actually connecting with somebody and not just, you know, being a part of some sort of late stage capitalism bullshit where everything is actually an ad.
Right.
And everybody is trying to sell you something.
That's right.
I guess where, you know, which is scary. Look, it's hard. It's hard to live in this moment because there's so much selling. Everybody's trying to make, you know, everybody's trying to get ahead. Everybody's trying to make a future for themselves or pay their bills. And, you know, so it makes sense that people are seeking authentic connection, human connection. Now, I just want to specify what I think you're saying, why this hurts us is this idea of authenticity. And where I take a little umbrage is it's not necessarily authenticity hurts us or this desire to be authentic hurts us. The main thing I hear you railing against in your thesis is that it's the organic nature of authenticity, where it's like, I'm not going to clean the stain off my hoodie because that's what it is. I'm not going to, you know, do this extra work. I'm not going to put myself out. You know, I'm not going to try and intentionally make a connection with somebody who maybe I want to work with down the line, because that's not authentic. It's not happening organically through life and through magic or whatever. And so what I think you're right about, because look, this is something that comes up consistently when we ask people to fill out, you know, intake forms, when we start working with them, authenticity is always one of the main values people have. And I agree that if you have a certain definition of authenticity, authenticity can seem like the opposite of intention. A lot of times, because with intention, you're kind of forcing yourself in some ways to live up to something that may live up to a state, actions, values that maybe you are not currently practicing. And so it can feel, quote, inauthentic to live with intention.
Well, because, you know, and yeah, all well said. And you know, but you know what you're bringing up again that we always circle back to is, especially actors in particular want our oh so special unique talent to do all of the work for ourselves. And so I say that because I do think that there's also a sense of, if to your point about the relationship building, what does it mean for that to happen? Because when people say that, right? Oh, I want this relationship to develop organically. Okay, what do you mean? And what they want, and they get, this is what they want. Well, I want to be in a situation where, like, we're in a room working on a thing, and I get, that's what they want.
Right.
That they want that. But again, that is predicated then on I was chosen because I'm so special. Like they get, it all comes back to this idea that I shouldn't have to work so hard to share my God-given talent. That and the cream rises to the top, right? I mean, that's really another issue here, because just again, where this idea ultimately works against us, where the idea of holding on to a singular sense of authenticity, macro, it holds us back. Holds us back from doing the work that we actually need to be doing. Right, it holds us back, and I would say gives us an excuse as to why we're not doing work a lot of times. Again, what business is wholly authentic the entire time? But here are some exact ways that this relates to actors. So, social media, Mike, is probably the biggest one. Because I think this idea of authenticity also creates a sense of perfectionism in social media content creation, even if it's some of the basic stuff, day-to-day story stuff, or you know, main feed, whatever, you know, if we're doing Instagram, or really anything. The whole vibe is, I think, creates a sense of perfectionism in us that holds us back from actually being able to do what you really need to do, specifically on something like socials, which is throw paint against the fucking wall. You could do it strategically, but you've just got to be in a place of action. And to quote Mr. Labad himself, I always quote you here, give me another donut. No. What he always says about social media that I always love is, on social media, you're either selling or you're being sold. And I always use that because, like, yeah, you just said, late stage capitalism. Social media is what's the best form of example of that. And you're either selling or being sold. Well, if you're being sold, then you're probably living in that state of, like, this is my one true community for my authentic self to shine. You're probably being sold.
Well, that, you know what I mean? With, and look, and I think that where this idea of authenticity might potentially hold us back when it comes to marketing in general and branding is, you know, is that what I think you got to understand as a business, why you're unique and in what context in this business. You know, it's not that I'm the, you know, I'm this type or whatever, or I don't even fucking know, or even the bookings and all this shit, or like, I would even argue, even like, telling the story of, like, I'm constantly auditioning and working. I think that's even less interesting than understanding what makes your art unique in this moment.
But okay, can I say something about that for a second as an example? Sure. Too? There's really no new ideas. Right. And even though, like, you know, we live, you know, the blessing of being an artist in particular is that, you know, your unique self truly actually is going to really needs to be the inspiration for your art and for your persona, which this also relates back to that episode that we did on marketing. It was essentially fuck type, because what are we selling? We're actually selling the story of a, you know, more so a persona. I lost my train of thought.
But basically, fair enough. But what I was saying was basically, here's the thing, right? So if you know that, if you understand, through, and not just making it up at all point, listen, it is all made up. Everything's made up. There is no inherent truth in life. We make up uniqueness. Our own meaning.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're like, I'm the, you know, for lack of putting it, like, I am, this is who I am in this business. This is what I do in this business. This is what makes me special. Guess what? The second you, it's like the Tao. Once you fucking say it, it's not that. Like, now it's an idea outside of yourself that you have to now live up to, right? That's what a business is. A business is
yeah.
an idea. Yeah. and a service and a standard that then the people within the business have to live up to. When
right.
you clearly define what your market position is in the business, you have now created something you must live up to.
Right.
And where I take umbrage and where I disagree to an extent with this appearance of authenticity motif is that you not the imposter syndrome that will inherently come because you are not always that thing. You are never always that thing. You know, character is in. There's no such thing as character in real life at all. We're just reactionary creatures. You know when our identities are fluctuating. But the second you say this is who I am in this business, this is what I offer, it is now your job to live up to that. And this gap between where you are at any given moment and living up
sure.
to that standard, that's not – and when you try to continue to live up to that standard, that's not being inauthentic.
Yeah.
That, in my definition, now what I agree with you is that I feel like there are some simple people out in the world – who think that just because it's not coming naturally in the moment for me to act a certain way, that means that I'm lying. But to me, authenticity is bigger than that. It's bigger than the moment to moment. Authenticity is actually understanding your why, understanding what you want to do, understanding what your values are, what you really hold true and dear, and trying your best to live up to that. It's not just expressing
whatever
you are feeling in the moment.
That's all well said. I just don't think that's what we're talking about. And so the reason why, just to be clear, the reason why is because I let's give that a different name. You know what I mean? Because what I hear you saying there is more of a mission, a sense of purpose, in some ways, you know, when we talk about artist statements and looking at mission, vision, and values, like more to like where, like what is my highest form that I'm working towards as an artist? Which the reason why I'm thinking of them as being totally different is that can be authentic, and I think your point is well made of like setting a standard for yourself for what you're trying to reach, but then along the way, when things bump, so whether that's
sure,
whether that's I'm tired, I don't feel like it, or that social content isn't getting traction, or reject, there's so many things that make us uncomfortable or make us question, that we don't go, well, this isn't feeling exactly right, and
it's not flowing.
It's not flowing.
And so the only thing that it all depends on how you define authentic. And so I guess I think my definition of authentic is more useful than the definition, because what I hear you defining authentic as, and by the way, I think this is how most people do identify with authentic, is that it's flow, it's easy, it's there is no bumps, it's I don't ever have to, you know, feel imposter syndrome or intention. It just kind of happens the way it's supposed to happen. That, you know, I don't have to put much effort or produce. You know, a great example is I shoot an ad. You know, now what's big now is these ads where it's like people are shooting them on their phones, right? Why? Even though those are highly produced, they feel less produced. It doesn't feel like a lot of work went into presenting something. That's not, it's like, oh, I just picked up the camera and started recording. If you take that concept and expand it to everything else, it's like, oh, this relationship didn't take a ton of effort to make happen. This relation, which, or this, you know, this.
Well, let's stay on that for a second, because this relationship building in particular is another good example of this, because you know, and I just want to say, in how it relates to this, you know, I think you've heard me say many times that I sort of often equate networking, relationship building, like dating, meaning yes, we want the flow of a romantic relationship, a budding romantic relationship, to be organic and easy, and it flows, and there's DDD. But of course, we play the same game of like, oh, I have to show interest, and I'm looking for reasons to show interest in order to keep a conversation going. And so I'm saying that because the same thing is true in you want to get to know a director, you want to get to know another actor, right, an artist, anybody. You might
have to put yourself out there.
Exactly. And this is another example, though, where, you know, because for us, you know, look, relationships, we know, are everything. I mean, I could wake up every fucking day and cultivate more folks, reach out. I could start new relationships. They're everywhere. It's nonstop. And I think that idea sometimes is what makes people go, oh, I just wish it was more organic or authentic. I wish it just happened. But this holds people back, as opposed to those who go like, no, like, I'm going to go grow my fucking community. And that's going to take a little bit of work. And it might at times feel like I'm, you know, and what are we afraid of? We're afraid of rejection. And we're afraid of people not seeing our value enough and not, you know, judging us for trying to look like we're getting, like there's an art to it, but it's the appear, but what do we want to sell? The appearance of authenticity. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to say two things about this. The first being is, you know, where this conversation came up for you is like, if you're doing, originally came up for us, is like, if you're doing a pitch to somebody, not, dear sir, madam, please view, you always, you know, you, what I appreciate is that you try to make the, when you craft a pitch email sometimes, or when I do the same thing, is I try to actually make it pretty casual.
Exactly.
And exactly. A little like off the cuff. It's not a big deal, even if a lot of time and energy went into crafting that email.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the same thing. Yeah. Just like with, if you do something nice for your partner, you go out of your way to get flowers for your partner. Or get a gift or blah, blah, blah. You don't want them to know, you know, you just want to give them the fucking thing and be like, yeah, here you go. You know, you don't want them to know, hey, guess what? I went out of my way. I had to go out of my way to get this fucking thing and I didn't have it. And then I had to go to this other, you don't want to go into this whole fucking story because that defeats the purpose. You just want it to, when you go to them, you want it to, you don't want
feel
to
feel easy.
Easy. You don't want to load them with all the work you had to do to make that happen. You just want it to feel chill, easy, whatever. And now where I will push on you a little bit, and where I've shifted a little bit in this, and I guess maybe this is just in stages, is that we're in agreement on, is that you're always going to have to put yourself out there in this business. People will come to you. But, you know, sure, if you got the goods and you are running a halfway decent business, yes, people will come to you, but you just have to assume that nobody's ever coming to you. So if you want to have a relationship with anybody, you need to make it happen.
And I don't think people will just come to you. I just want to be clear. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Not only because there are, I won't even say, because you know I have an obsession with like actors who like have big moments and then they disappear. And I'm saying this because this all takes work. It takes work. We keep saying it's the hardest thing, the moment in history to sort of become an actor, to be an artist. And there's a new kind of work. It's across many levels. You know, when we talk about this cultural moment, I won't say who it is, but Rashad, my manager, we were texting about, there's someone he works with who we both know. She's been in a bunch of Broadway shows, and I'm saying it because she's not playing this game that well. It's too obvious. Actually, I sent Mike a screenshot of someone posted like their resume, like on their story yesterday, and it was basically kind of like ready to work. But here's why this relates to this, because that's not it. And interesting, right? Because that's actually authentic, isn't it? I would argue that's a version of like, yeah, like here's my shit.
I've spent so much time trying to connect with artists that I don't really respect, that I don't really care about, that I don't really want to know, just so they can give me a job. Now, that's probably the most inauthentic thing I could, one of the most inauthentic things one could ever do. And I've spent years trying to cast a very wide net to try and basically know as many people as possible, regardless of if I actually am interested in their work or not, just so I could get a job. More and more I do this, the less and less I think that's a good idea, because there are just too many people out in the world. And if I'm trying to get to know anybody, any casting director, any filmmaker, just because they're any producer, anybody, just because they can move my career along, I personally think that's a waste
of
time.
That's no problem. So, but fabulous. But what do you mean, just to move my career along? Meaning, isn't it all to move your career along?
I don't think it's all to move my career along.
But see, this is where we have to remove the personal for a second. We have to remove the personal. I understand it. Your personal circle of friends and family and maybe even, let's just say, very specific dear collaborators, I totally get it. Keep your truest circle. But here's where everyone's strategy is going to be different. Your vibe could be, I need to be more focused, more intentional. Great. Or you could take the Bill Clinton vibe. I'm saying Bill Clinton because I was just reading about him in this book. Bill Clinton was known famously for, he makes you feel like the most important person in the room. And I told you, when he came to See Ain't Too Proud, I was the very first person he comes up to and he goes, I was told I needed to find you, the man playing Shelley Berger, and tell him that he was a terrific, and made me feel like I was like the, and romanced by him, and he's just amazing. Why do I say this? Because every artist, like, I'm actually probably closer to where you are, Mike, but like Jelani, I was just talking to him last night. Part of his talent and part of his ability to cultivate fans and other artists in his orbit is his amazing ability to sort of cast a wide net. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yes,
yeah,
well, we're
saying different things. I agree with you that you should try and make everybody feel special. I actually think that's a really good, I think that's great. And you should always be, I'm not saying like if you don't respect somebody's art to treat them like shit. I'm just saying that when you're talking about your valuable time and energy, when you are out here trying to figure out what kind of art you're going to make, what kind of business you're going to run, I have spent too much time, in my opinion, as opposed to saying, who are the people out there? Not that I just want to know because they could help me work. Because here's the problem. That doesn't work. In my experience, if that is the lens I am approaching it from, people, no matter how
okay, but what about this one?
Email is, no matter how easy my email is, people see right through that shit.
Well, so, let me ask you another one, though. Let's reframe it. People out there that you want to work with, or to, because it's the same thing for me. I don't care if it's about getting in a room, or it's about borrowing a camera, or it's about getting that actor in the thing, or trying to get the writer to help you do it, or fundraising, or the producer. It's all the same to me. Now, what I hear you partially saying is, why would I waste time building relationships with people, to get me into the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey's upcoming whatever the fuck? Like,
unless it's like,
exactly.
And let me, but bills need to be paid. This is where bills need to be paid regardless.
Yeah.
So don't hear me say, not saying that. I guess what I'm saying is, for me, where authenticity is important in relationships is not trying to just basically put on blast.
Sure. You got to be intentional.
And trying to, exactly. Who are really, in my opinion,
yes,
who are the 15 people? And I'm not talking about all stars. Some of those people are going to be right at my level.
Yeah.
The 15 people who I really want to make art with forever.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, some of those people should be at your level. Some of those people should be a couple steps ahead of you, and some of those people should be big reaches. And I think that if you are a pro, I think overall that that's where probably most of my community cultivation effort would go, should go. If I'm trying to cultivate every casting assistant on the planet or every casting director on the planet just because, that is, not only do I think that that's actually inauthentic, I think that that's can be a waste of time particularly, and it's actually you not doing the work to actually identify where you fit, what you value, what art is important to you.
Yeah, but well, I think it's a totally fair point, and I think and from my perspective, they're slightly different things. You know, just what you're like, what, because what I hear you saying is, you know, when it comes to relationship building, just not like you're, like you literally said, just not blasting it out everywhere and sullying the goods by way of, you know, just trying to attract any and all, but instead sort of being focused and specific with your time, energy, resources, and as much, because you can't date everybody. I mean, that's not.
Yeah, I go back and forth, though, because let me give you an example. There's this producer. She's probably one of the more prolific producers operating at, like, I would say, the $2 million feature level. She's won awards. She's very well known in the industry. She's young. She's very well known, like, in the industry specifically, right? So I've met this woman a few times. You know, passing acquaintance. For years, I've been laying the foundation with this woman a bit. Not a very nice person. Not a nice person. There's the thumb up sign. Not a nice person. The movies I'm actually not that interested in. And reciprocates at the bare minimum. And I'm not blaming her. I'm not like, she should give me all the attention in the world. No, it's like, who am I to her? But reciprocates at the bare minimum. It's not an easy relationship to build. And at a certain point, like, I have to ask myself, frankly, like, how much time and energy am I willing to invest in this relationship? Because it doesn't feel like it's flowing. It doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel like there's something there to cultivate, nor do I really want to cultivate it, or do I just want to know this person because they're big and they could get me a nice job?
Yeah. I totally heard, and I think it's going to be a case-by-case basis by person. I think, because I think part of what I, you know, there's two sides to, I think, to what you're saying. One is the asking that question and going like, oh no, this is not the best use of my time. And this person isn't reciprocating and this isn't flowing. And I need to put my resources elsewhere. But then for some people, you have to realize, and you are not someone who is afraid to engage people, but there are people who won't even fucking begin.
But because, just to play devil's advocate to myself.
Yeah.
You hear stories all the times about sales stories, about, you hear it constantly about people who, like, you know, big sales that people have had, or like deals they're trying to close, where it was like the person was cold, was fucking like, you know, it was like this. And it took a lot of fucking work to make the deal happen. You hear stories like that all the time, and people that fight tooth and nail to actually close an account, close a deal, whatever. Now, so just to play devil's advocate to myself, I think what might be the difference there, frankly, is in those stories that I'm thinking of, you know, that I've heard other entrepreneurs tell, despite how unpleasant the other person might be, despite how unnatural the relationship and forced it may be trying to make it happen, and how much rejection you're getting, they knew that the other person would really benefit from it. They knew that the other, whether they could accept it or not, they really knew that they could bring the value needed. And so, like, look, if there's, I'm here to say that if there's a relationship out there that you really feel like, no, this is really important to me. It's not just about my next co-star, but you know, it's hard to get after it. You have to get after it. If it's really important to you, get after it.
Right. Right. And again, you know, I really think of artists and specifically actors a lot like politicians. I really, really do. Yeah. Where you're trying to share your unique perspective and you have to make your case to people as to why your art essentially matters. And that takes you like, you know, getting it going. I mean, what politician would go, don't they just have to like my ideas? They should just know them and like them. You know, that doesn't happen. You have to go out. You have to make the case. You have to share it. You got to make change. And artists have to do the same fucking thing. They got to grow a community. But let's talk about another one where the authenticity or the appearance of authenticity needs to be considered. And that's even self-producing, right? Creating your own work. And here's why I say this. Because what's authentic, quote unquote, probably, is either A, not making anything, you know, I'm an interpretive artist, I only act or whatever, right? That's, you know, doesn't feel authentic to produce or to, you know, be at the helm. But the other thing is that, you know, some of what we talk about when it comes to creating your own work is to at least consider some strategy, just like any producer in this fucking business does. And what I mean by that is that when people are putting time and money and into a project, they're going, great, how do I maximize the potential? How do I make the most money? How do I d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d? But when artists are making their own work, sometimes it can feel inauthentic to go to such and such director, to go to such and such, you know, casting person or actor.
Really, it's like, you know, well, similar to politics, right? There's compromise. You know, I guess for a good, you know, most, you know, every good politician has to, in order to get things done, needs to do things that they don't necessarily believe in wholeheartedly.
Yeah, there you go.
To move the needle along. Yeah. It's a game to play. I mean, that's literally what politics is, literally a game.
Yeah.
That you play with other people to try and make shit. The shit you want happen to get the best outcome you want. I mean, that's basically what politics is.
Right.
And so how it relates to self-producing is, yes, maybe I want my friend BB to direct it, who, like, you know.
BB Netanyahu?
BB Netanyahu. Oh, God. Yeah, there you go. That'd be a good movie. Anyway, but I want my friend, you know.
What do you mean? Him directing a production of Hello, Dolly in Pennsylvania? That's the movie?
Oh, my God. I don't want to, you know.
Starring Tova Feldscher.
Yeah, actor housing takes on a whole other level. They're like, they extend actor housing into other areas. Anyway, whatever. But, you know, so. It's like, how come the whole town is actor housing now? Anyway, too hot a topic. Yeah, that's not a road I'm going down. Anyway, yeah, exactly. So, you know,
I want my friend BB Netanyahu to direct it.
I want my friend BB because I really think she'd be interesting because she does these collages and she makes like period art. And even though she's never directed a movie, like, I think she'd be really well. Like, you're gonna have to do things that you don't necessarily want to do. That's just how work gets made. If you want something to get done, that's how you got to do it, right? So that's one thing. What's the next topic you're up for, Austin?
So the other thing. So two things. The clocks spring forward tomorrow, so we lose an hour.
Oh shit.
So the other one was that is craft improvement. Specifically, just to be clear, and this relates to this authenticity thing. Because it's a small but important one that if you are you taking an objective look at the needs of where the industry is, what you're trying to accomplish, and how and what you need to sharpen. You know, the reason why I want to say this is a big one is because I do think there's a bit of like a it's its own epidemic in our. And for artists in particular, like once we go to school and get the basic toolkit, that then we just sort of let experience and our, you know, the one time we trained, you know, to keep us afloat forever, as opposed to really going like what any business would do, which is like, yeah, this year, what can I do to sharpen and make better my work? And it could be the creative work. It could be physical appearance. It could be I mean, there's so many elements that you're going like, how am I? And I think, again, where this bumps up again, the idea of authenticity or the appearance of authenticity is, you know, well, why should I, you know, why should I think about their needs? Isn't my art enough as is, or to work that way from that perspective, you know, to work from the perspective of like, how, what am I working on that needs to fill a need in the industry, as though it feels like I'm not just staying true to my art. So craft improvement for me is another one.
Well, it's interesting because I go back and forth on this, because what I agree with you on is that, look, I think that, again, it comes back to this idea of ease, right? Like, if it feels easy, if I just do my thing, that's enough. I'm enough up there. Like, you know, right. We can always be better. We can always improve. And yes, I do think it's important to at least understand what skills are valued by the industry, and to then channel that through your unique artistry and make it something unique in your artistry. For example, let's take something as simple as on-camera technique. I think it's important to understand on-camera technique, being good on camera, being easy on camera, is something that's valued in this business. It's valued because it's easy to watch and it's valued by audiences. It's valued, right? Now, what your job is, in my opinion, what the artist's job is to, it's like when you learn in voice class, right? Like, your mind and your instrument is like, it's like the guy riding the horse. The best is that when they're together, when they're one mind, when they're one brain. What doesn't work, in my opinion, out of experience, is when you're trying to be something you're not. When you're trying, when you let go of what makes you unique, when you let go of your unique point of view, when you let go of your unique value to purely live up to the skill set that's valued in the marketplace, because then you're just like everybody else. That's not good business either. It's not good business to only consider what the market needs, and that alone. What is I think good business is to understand what the market needs, and then how you are uniquely positioned to fill that need, not like everybody else.
And what do you need to continue to fill? Because it's not enough to go, my little special tiny aorta heart that has it deep inside me just will naturally share it. You know, I'm a very talented person. You are a very talented person. But there are a lot of things that I should be working on with more constancy. And I recognize that. You know, I mean, I just recognize it. And I think that even in craft improvement, you know, yeah, you keep coming back to what I'm trying to say that I think relates to this, which is, don't take your foot off the pedal because it feels uncomfortable. Because I think some people equate uncomfortable with inauthentic. Oh, I have to listen to myself. Let's get to this next big one here. Whatever this means for you, you know, secondary income. You know, this is a big one, right, Mike? Meaning. Let me be clear what I mean about this, because I think secondary income can come in the form of a lot of different forms, but I think sometimes people's consideration of for this for themselves goes out the window by way of, you know, what we've talked about, you know, with a singular focus on, if I go all in on my art, that's going to manifest. Which, look, there are examples of that working. Our friend Jay Majors, you know, that's sort of been, we talk about that all the time, that's a core strategy for him. It's all craft. But the real macro point that I want to bring up into this is that when we ignore it, when we just ignore the considerations of what does this need to look like for myself in order for me to be able to continue to build the life that allows me to create art, you know, that sometimes could mean doing things we don't want to do. I mean, we're half joking, but do you think, you know, it's not that we love being up at 7 a.m. to record a podcast when we both have in the middle of shows, but that's just not the way that it works, you know?
And you know, it's, and let me say this, right? Because, you know, maybe most people are not going to have this issue. But, you know, I feel like I have gotten away from some of the authentic. What's really hard, here's what's really hard. What's hard is to stay authentic in terms of not losing sight of what you're really about and what you really want and what your values really are. And, you know, while also trying to survive in this business, that's what we're talking about, is that it's a combo of both of these things. You can't, because look, yeah, do I want to necessarily be doing this right now? I actually do. It's fun. But like a lot of times, no, I don't like all the work that goes into having a secondary income stream. I don't like it. Right. However, And I do think that to an extent, it is possible to go too far the other way where you're such in survival mode and you're only considering, you know, one foot in front of the other. How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to get all this shit together? How am I going to, where that you actually lose sight of the aorta heart? And that's not good, because then you're not bringing anything, because then...
Mike, 51%, 49%. You know, yeah, it's,
I agree with that,
because both things can be true.
Yes.
And I think that's also kind of what we're getting at in a lot of this, is that there's sometimes so much that sometimes it goes maybe a little too much to like 69%, you know, 31%. And all of a sudden we're a little too heavy-handed with the stop and smell the roses. Now, there can be moments for that too, to be clear. It's not, you know, it's so funny. I think, and I think this is where you and I also find an interesting flow and considerations of all this stuff, because I like living a bit in the gray, meaning in the two truths, three truths, four truths. And I think part of the way that you work differently, which again has helped us to, as we sort of collaborate on things and find a happy medium, is more of a binary. And I do think that a lot of people sort of, you know, have a, which is why you can get right inside the minds of other people's perspectives of like, well, it has to be all this or all that. When, and this goes back to this idea of the appearance of authenticity, because if I may, well, it just needs a special consideration. And kind of the final segment of this piece too, just to say, is, you know, method, but that's method meaning like how we do this day to day. And the reason it relates is because there's going to be an uncomfortable amount of work. There is going to be an uncomfortable amount of work. And it might feel authentic to get up and look, you know, I've been very consistent with my morning routines for many, many months now. And I got up this morning at 6:15 and I had a very abbreviated, you know, morning routine. But I'm saying this because, yes, I could only read one page of a book. Yes, I could only meditate for 5 minutes, DDDDD. But that doesn't, and it might not be true to my authentic self in the middle of the, you know, the drama I had in rehearsal yesterday. Gotta go. I got designer run tomorrow. Like, my authentic self is like, I just sort of want to, you know, sleep or I veg out for 4 seconds and whatever the hell it is. But there's,
or
but
the opposite,
not,
or the opposite be, or panic work or like wake up and like work from a state of panic and fear.
Uh-huh.
As opposed
uh-huh.
to doing what your morning routine, the thing that you said.
Right.
And that to me is a key part of this conversation with authenticity, is that what I feel like culturally where I agree with you on is what we lost, what we have lost sight on is intentionality, is true intentionality. On both spectrums, by the way, there are people grind culture, hustle culture. That's not an intentional life either, I would argue, a lot of times. A lot of times that's a fear-driven place to be in where you're really just going. That's not intentional either. On the flip side, if something's a little hard or a little difficult for somebody, you know, we're a very soft culture right now. If something's a little hard or a little difficult or a little uncomfortable, then, you know, we don't want to do it, or it must not be the thing. And to me, this is what we're talking about, is how, and so, you know, even though it may feel like in the moment I want to do something else, whether that's panic work, you know, whether I wake up and I want to start responding to emails versus meditating, which is what I'm supposed to, what I would like to do in the mornings, or whether it's, you know, I don't want to do that, I don't want to send that email because I'm scared or whatever the fuck, you know, to me, the reason why living authentically is a challenge and why I don't think it's always useful is because what we want and feel and need changes moment to moment. It's always changing. We're reactionary creatures.
So if
we're trying to chase this elusive moment to moment feeling on what feels right, as opposed to, I think the only option, my opinion, the only option us as human beings have is to have, that's why values exist. That's why values exist is because you need something consistent. You need a bedrock. You need a foundation to build your life off of, even when you don't feel like doing it.
Now,
to say sometimes, and what the conversation you need to have with yourself, and this is important in workflow and reviewing, is are those values may change. That is okay.
Yes,
you have
that's
to
true.
Always be in tune and understand. Are those still my values? Is that still what I really want? Is this what I'm really all about? I'm not saying that once you decide, that's it forever. But authenticity as a concept and something to chase, I don't think is probably, my summation of it is, I don't think it's probably the best thing to consider.
But part of my argument is, but the appearance of authenticity is, because that could mean something publicly, and it also could mean for yourself, like understanding that if you are someone who connects the idea of authenticity to feeling ease and organic, that I would maybe redefine that for yourself. Because not only, you know, just from a general marketing standpoint, you're not going to go out there and be like, hey guys, guess what? I've auditioned for 32 projects in the last few months and I've booked none of them. Like, that's like, we're not going to share that either. So I'm just saying it because I think it's a weird dance we do.
Well, where the appearance of authenticity... Sorry. Here you go.
No. I was going to move on to comfort food performances.
Well, the thing I'll say about the appearance of authenticity, why it's important, is to, because if authenticity doesn't really exist, in my opinion, if, you know, you can't... It is smart business to say, this is who I am. This is what I am about. Even if that's not always true. That's good business.
Sure.
And it's going to feel like a lot. Look, I am not, I don't know. I don't think that you have to pretend like everything is hunky-dory all the time and that everything is great. I actually think that.
I don't either, but you're talking like, so you're talking like marketing now.
I'm talking about like if Labad is irreverent, silly, you know, if Labad is about irreverence, being silly, being intelligent, you know, aggressive, if that's what Labad is about, if that's what...
Well,
that's,
just to be clear, you're saying it. Who's Labad?
Exactly.
It's the appearance of authenticity.
Well, what I mean is, but let me finish this point, is that I don't always feel like that.
Right.
That's not who I am.
Right.
That's not who I always... I think that that's my unique light. I think that that's what I bring to the table.
Yes.
I think that my... And by the way, I think that I think mess is also something I bring to the table that is a is a unique value. It doesn't all have to be good shit. I think that some bad shit you bring to the table is actually pretty good. But I'm not always that thing. Sometimes I'm a little cuddly bug, you know, or whatever. Sometimes I'm a little, or sometimes a little, I'm neurotic about X, Y, and Z, but I need to present something consistent to the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. And that is why that's exactly the point. But it still needs to feel authentic what you're presenting to because of the moment we live in. Therefore, in so much of this, it's really at its core the appearance of authenticity that we're really focusing on over, because then if we're always sort of if it sometimes feels more authentic, amazing. And sometimes it'll feel less authentic, and that has to be okay too. You know, whether it's marketing, self-producing, relationship building, there's going to be ebbs and flows. And again, we have to sort of live in an area that's a little bit more nuanced.
And so next time you feel like you're doing something inauthentic, I guess what I would push yourself to say is, because I agree with you, I like the idea of that. What would be helpful for me to hear is that, well, okay, it's uncomfortable, but is it part of your is it what you want to do? Is it part of your, like, in a larger sense?
Sure.
Are you betraying your value? Are you betraying core values?
Yes,
are you
exactly.
really betraying? Is sending that email, pitching yourself for a project, is that really like betraying core? It's not like sucking Harvey Weinstein's dick, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, so many times we like blow these things up to be like complete travesties. It's like, yes, pitching yourself for a project or telling somebody you liked their show, is that like betraying your core values?
Exactly. No, I think that's a great point.
Or does it bring you closer to who you actually want to be in this business?
I totally agree. So, comfort food performances. Here's my comfort food performance for today, just because it was announced it's closing this week. Kelly O'Hara in Days of Wine and Roses.
Oh, you saw it.
I've seen it twice. I saw it 1 week and went back the next week to see it. I thought it was just gorgeous. I mean, a truly beautiful show. And not for everybody. Like, it's a bit weird in some ways. It's kind of an art piece. But Kelly O'Hara, whom I've always known, obviously, who Kelly O'Hara was, and I was kind of a fan, but she was kind of always like I'm the beautiful blonde girl who, like, sings really well. Listen, A-game. It's musical theater at its finest. She is singing for the gods. She's giving a beautiful, complex, devastating performance. She's absolutely going to get a Tony nomination, if not win. And as is probably Brian D'Arcy James, at least he'll get a nomination. But she's giving such a beautiful performance. I think it closes. It's closing early, which doesn't shock me. The whole show, just to say, a gorgeous take on the devastating journey of alcoholism. It's really beautiful, and Kelly O'Hara is just stunning in it.
Jim Carrey and Liar Liar, because it came up in conversation yesterday.
I don't remember it, but I
oh, that's yeah, I mean, that is, I even think that's better than The Mask. I think that's probably his best. That's his best at what he does. That movie,
I love,
is so good. Truman Show's great. You know, the Liar Liar, though, is him, like, whack, like, completely wacky, like, unhinged, like, you know, all his fucking fit. I mean, he is, I might watch that soon. I might watch that in a couple. It is just that is such a comfort food performance for me of, like, I could watch that movie. I could watch him. He was actually why I wanted to be an actor. He was really actually He was my main. I remember I was watching I think it was The Mask, and I was like, I want to do that.
He's so good. Those are both good ones. Okay, folks, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Creative Risk, where we talk about art, entrepreneurialism, and everything in between. If you can't get enough of us, and who could? Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/creativeriskpodcast. Where you'll have a bunch of bonus episodes, including your weekly Get At It, aka your weekly gay, with some quick 5 to 10 minute inspo from yours truly, Labad and Jabad. And plus some other cool shit. If you wanted to work with us, there's lots of stuff. So check it out. And of course, as always, like and subscribe, leave a review. Unless you don't like it, then just send it on to your enemies. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.